Thank you. Good evening. Everyone okay? Yeah, can we thank the worship team? They were amazing tonight. Really, really good. My name's Chris. Have we got any visitors here? Any new people? If you're visiting from a different place, can you just throw your hand up in the air if you're new visiting? Brilliant. We've got a load of people. Could we welcome? Welcome guests. Great to see you. Really, really great to have you with us. And yeah, we're just so glad to be able to share this evening with you. My name's Chris. I'm a part of the team here. Have been for over 5 years. Married to Helena, who's just sat there. Give us a wave, Helena. Yeah, she's just there. We got two little girls, Jessica, Raffi. And Jessica's nearly six. Raffi is 3.5. And they are wonderful in all ways, apart from a few. I'm joking. We are in the second week of a little series, a 3 week series we're doing called The Language of Growth. And the Language of Growth series, the next 3 weeks, is all about trying to set the course of direction for us for the way in which we want to teach in the coming year. Last week, I spoke to you, and a message was titled Into the Fast Lane. And I spoke to you from mainly 1 Corinthians 3, looking at verses 5 to 7. And we looked at the bit in which Paul starts to talk about the fact that he plants seeds and his friend Apollos waters the seeds, but God has been doing the growing. And it was a one-point message. And the one point of the message was this, that growth is God's responsibility. Creating an environment for growth is ours. Okay? Growth is God's responsibility. Creating an environment for growth is our responsibility. At Christchurch, we want to create the best possible environment for growth. We want to do all that we can to create an environment in which you are set and set up for God to do his best growth in you. We want to do that. But it's not just us that count. You count. You count a whole bunch. And your internal environment really counts, and your ability to create an environment for God to grow you is equally, if not more important than what we do here. So you have responsibility, and we have responsibility, and responsibility was the key word that we used last week. So responsibility. God's responsibility to grow things, our responsibility to create an environment in which it's possible. If you were here last week, and just by way of updating you, and you heard me talk about my swimming story, I have not yet made it into the fast lane, and you can pray for me on Thursday. I may do so then. Why don't you, high-five someone, give someone a cuddle next to you, and maybe if you were there last week, just talk to them about what you remember, any of the seeds that were sown into your life last week, and you got 2 minutes to do that, and then I'm going to gather us back together. Off you go. 2 minutes.
I am ready.
I'm so ready. Okay, it's getting quiet. It's time to begin. Here we go. Hey, have you ever had one of those days You know, one of those days. Ever have one of those days? Do you know what I'm talking about? No. Just one of those days. Stuff just happens, goes wrong. One of those days. You ever have one of those days? There was this Tuesday about 4 weeks ago where I just had one of those days. I'm going to start, though, a year previously. It was almost exactly a year ago. Helena and I sat across the dinner table from each other having this conversation. It's an important conversation because I can tell Helena's got her nervous face on. So I know it's important. As she begins to talk to me, she begins to pitch to me the idea that we would go away to Spain for 3 days to celebrate our 10 years of marriage. Yeah, all right. There's a few. Yep, 10 years of marriage. She knows full well that if she's going to pitch to me the idea that we're going to travel to Spain for 3 days, if she's going to pitch that idea to me, she better come prepared. If you know anything about Helena, she definitely came prepared. She definitely came prepared. Let me tell you, as the conversation evolved, I discovered that almost a year in advance, the location was pretty much set. I had no choice in the location. The location was set. The flights had been researched and, I think, identified. The accommodation was Pinterested. Blogs had been read and extensively read, so there was food options already on the table to me a year in advance, which is helpful because I'm a foodie guy, so to present me with food options is always going to be a winner. So it's all been researched. It's all been researched. And we start chatting about it. I think, let me tell you something about me. I'm a homeboy. Have we got any other home people? Homely people. People who just love to be at home. Yeah, I love to be at home. I love it at home. I love my bed. I love the comfort of my own bed. I love the smells of my house. I love the chairs that I sit in. I don't really enjoy going to other people's homes that aren't really homes. I like my home. I'm a home guy. So for Helena to take me out of my home to Spain for 3 days is a big ask. I think I mumbled something like, non-committal, probably, like, well, maybe we should look into it a bit more, which for Helena constitutes definitely we're going. So we got planning. We got planning. And so as we planned, we set all the right things in place. The kids were going to be looked after by Helena's mum and dad, and they were booked in already to come and spend 3 days in our house and look after them all. And so the day of departure arrives. It's a wonderful day. Helena's parents come and they pick up the kids. The kids disappear in the car. I weep a little bit, I'll be honest, just because I didn't want to leave them. Some tears were shed. But then Andrew came and picked us up. So I wiped away the tears and got in the car with Andrew and obviously Helena. And we drove. It wasn't for me and Andrew. We drove to the airport. Everything was working great. The flight landed in Girona. We were going to Spain, Catalonia, which is in northern part of Spain. Roberto's here. He's from Spain. You can speak to him about that if you want to. We went to Girona, and the flight landed great. All the departures worked out really well. Even the bus departures were timed perfectly. We were driving through Girona with this thought in my head that everything had been accounted for, except for one thing, as we identified on the Saturday evening. The one thing that we hadn't accounted for or really researched was that Catalonia had just held an illegal vote of independence. And it was due to be voted on the day that we arrive. So we arrived at our accommodation. We're greeted by our host, who is a really lovely guy. And he says to us, in fantastic English, we don't know what's happening, essentially. There's this vote that's happened, and it's just happened, and it's about to close, and it's all a bit crazy around here. We don't know what's going to happen to your trip, but we hope it'll be okay. Okay. As the trip evolved, we went straight out and got some food and had a lovely evening. Monday happened. And that was a great day too. We had more food. And I should probably tell you at this point, we had fully declared this holiday to be an eat-out-only holiday. Has anyone ever had one of those before? I'd never had one of those before, so I was excited. We declared it. It was official. This was eat-out-only. No other options. And so we were touring around eating all the food. It then got to the Tuesday. And this is the Tuesday I'm talking about. Okay? We woke up, we got up, we got dressed, we walked out of the apartment, and it was strangely quiet in the streets of Girona that day. Strangely quiet. And as we walked around, we suddenly began to discover that nothing was open. Nothing was open. Not one thing was open, apart from this one little shop down the street where this lady had opened sort of in secret. So the lights in her shop were off, and she was just sort of standing outside, like giving people like coffee, like behind her back, like don't let me see you, because she was worried about what it would look like if she was open. It got to about 3 o'clock that day. Now, I must say, it was kind of exciting in some ways, because there were like tens of thousands of people in Girona, and they're marching and they're protesting and they're rioting, and we're there at an historic time, and it's an historic time to be there. But I'm really hungry. I'm really, really hungry, and it gets to 3 o'clock, and I'm really, really hungry, and this thought runs through my head. I literally don't know what we're going to do. There's no food. Nothing is open. What are we going to do? What are we going to do if we can't get food? And I'm starting to internally panic about the fact that I might not be able to get food. It was a crazy, crazy time. And then I realized that obviously it would be okay. Of course it would be okay. But it took me a long time to realize that. When you've depended on your holiday that you can only eat out, and nowhere where is out is open, things start to go wrong in your head. When you depend on that thing being there and present, and it suddenly isn't there anymore, what do you do? If you're me, you sulk. So I went sulky. I don't know if anyone else is sulky. I'm sulky sometimes. I sulked. What do you do when the thing that you depended on didn't happen? Or the person that you depended on didn't come through? Okay, I'll ask you a different question. Some of you are going to be able to access the depth of emotion in this question. How do you feel when you've lost your phone, or you think you've lost your phone? How do you feel? Can you access that emotion of panic and terror and the fact that your life might end and the fact that you just lost your phone? Some of us are dependent on our phones, believe it or not. Some of us, the thought of losing that thing fills us with absolute dread, terror, whatever. I'm actually not that person, but some people are like that. The thought of losing something, what are you dependent on? Tonight, we're moving on from responsibility to talk about dependency. What do you do when the thing that you depended on didn't come through for you? I want to talk briefly about cycles of dependency, and then we're going to open the Bible together. If I'm dependent on something, I'm dependent on something because I'm in a system that told me that I could depend on it. I'm in a world where I'm told that I could depend on that specific thing. For example, I am generally dependent on the bus arriving on time, because the system that we have evolved in and we grow up in tells us that the bus will arrive on time, because the whole system is set up to do so. So I am dependent on the bus arriving on time, because my expectation is set that way by the system I'm in. I am not dependent on getting 8 hours sleep a night anymore, because the system I am currently in with two young children tells me it will very rarely happen. My expectation has changed. Dependencies are so linked into expectations. And those expectations are driven by the systems and the structures that we have set in our life or are set for us. Does that make any sense? So what you're dependent on is inherently linked to your expectation. I hope that makes sense. Now, the word dependent is really, it comes from a Latin word. And the root of that word, the pend bit, means to hang. So wherever you see a word with that bit of word in pend, so suspend, pendulum, pendant, it means to hang down. To hang down. So dependent, to be dependent, means to hang on something. To put your weight on something. To depend on that thing. So I think that so many of us get into situational and relational difficulties in our lives because we put the full weight of our life, we hang the full weight of our life on things and people that were not designed to bear the weight of it. I think often we find ourselves in difficulty both in situations and relationships when we hang the weight of our life on something that was never designed to bear its weight. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. So this tonight is not really like a 1 point or a 2 point or a 3 point thing. It's really a one question message. It's a one question message. And the question is really this. What do you allow to hold the weight of your life? What do you allow to hold the weight of your life? I.e., what are you dependent on? What does your life depend on? What do you hang the weight of your life upon? Some of us, we might be hanging our lives on people, specific people, relationships. The weight of our life is dependent on these people and these relationships. For some of us, it might be that our lives are dependent on career, on money, on just being okay, having enough, being provided for. The weight of our life goes behind those things. I want to just say to you at the beginning, or we're now in the middle, hopefully for you, that when you place the weight of your life on something that extends outside of the realms of God's grace and outside of Him, we're setting our growth environments up for a struggle. So when the full weight of our life finds its place hanging on something that isn't God, isn't His grace, we're setting ourselves up for a tussle. As I've been preparing for this thing, I've done a lot of reading on some things and trying to just get some clarity on what I'm supposed to be saying tonight. And one thing that I've learned, I think, as I've read through some scriptures, is that there's an amazing link between dependency, faith, and grace. There's an amazingly powerful link between dependency, between faith, and between grace. And we're going to begin to unpack that in our scripture in a minute. And so, as we begin to unpack the scriptures together now, in our study together, I want you to remember that question. I want you to have that question going around the backs of your head. What do I allow to support the weight of my life? What am I dependent on in my life? Okay? All right. Let's open our Bibles. You're going to go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Yeah, sorry, if you need a Bible, just if you'd like a Bible and you haven't got one, throw your hand in the air and Jackie will come and bring one to you or Morag over there. Please do that. Yeah, there's a few. Great. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to start from verse 13. It's worth saying at this point that that in Romans chapter 3 and in the first half of Romans chapter 4, what Paul is writing about essentially is that righteousness and in being in right relationship with God is all about faith, not about what you do. Okay? He writes in chapter 3 that famous verse, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are all justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ." That is in essence what chapter 3 is all about. Righteousness, you being in right relationship with God, is all about faith, not about what you do. And as we move into chapter 4, he uses two people as examples for whom this is true. So he talks of, he brings up Abraham, and we're going to talk mainly about Abraham, and he references David as well, two Old Testament characters who, for whom this principle of righteousness through faith is absolutely true. So let's read together. We're going to read from verse 13 of chapter 4. This is incredible, by the way. Please read it with your eyes and read it with your heart. Here we go. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, as that word depend, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed that so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Okay, there's a lot of words in there. Is everyone okay? It's an amazing bit of scripture. It's staggeringly amazing. If you have a chance to read through that again this week, I encourage you, please, read it again. It's an amazing piece of scripture. So chapter 3 of Romans, Paul's saying, hey, we all screwed it up, everyone. But your right relationship with God is about your belief, your faith in him to be who he said he is and was and will be. It's about your faith in him, not about what you do. So Abraham receives the promise, and the promise is that his descendants will populate the earth. He says in Genesis 15, look up to the sky, count the stars. Your descendants will be as many as these. He gives Abraham the promise, and this chapter talks about the promise a lot. He gives the promise to an aging, so he's 100 years old. It says he counted his body pretty much as dead, to an aging, childless man. And he says his descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him. That's chapter 12. Of Genesis. And then it says this in chapter 15. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. So God unveils this crazy thing into his life, makes a covenant with him. And it says, and Abraham believed in God. That word believe in the Hebrew is all about standing firm, being rooted, being established. It's like a solid word. The most famous derivative of that word is amen or amen. So in essence, when God unveils this crazy plan to Abraham, and he goes through it all, and he says, and look up to the stars in the sky and see all your descendants will be as many as these, he gives the crazy plan, and basically, Abraham just gives God a massive amen. Yeah, I agree. Amen. Amen, God. Abraham believed in God. Yeah. How crazy is that? You want to believe how different your life might be if you just believed in God? Just believed in God. And I know a lot of us in here like believe in God, but do you believe in God? Crazy thing happening up here. Count the stars, descendants, you've been blessed. All of earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham said, yeah, amen. Do you know how different your life would be if you believed in God? God called Abraham a righteous man because of his faith, not because of what he did. It was nothing to do with his works. It was nothing to do with his circumcision, which is written earlier on in the chapter. It was nothing to do with the law. It was nothing to do with the rules that he obeyed. It was because he believed. It's because he said, yes, God, I believe. I take you at your word. Amen to what you just said into my heart. Let me come back to Romans. The Amplified translation from verse 16 reads this. Therefore, inheriting the promise depends, is that word, depends entirely on faith. Inheriting the promise depends entirely on faith in order that it may be given as an act of grace. Okay, so here's our link. Dependency, faith, grace. Dependency, faith, and grace. Therefore, the promise depends entirely on faith. So Abraham receiving this promise, this crazy promise, Abraham receiving the promise, the word of God into his life, the covenant that was made, its weight is entirely behind faith. Remember that word, depend? It's to hang your life on something. It's to put the full weight of your life upon something. And Abraham chooses to put the whole weight of his life because it depended on faith. It depends on faith. The promise to him depended on faith. The whole weight of his body, of his life, it was weighed in faith. So Abraham put his full weight behind it. So when our dependency is found in faith, we open our lives to the outrageous impossibilities of grace. There's this little bit in John chapter 4, which I love. Some of you hear me talk about this before. And Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, if you knew who you're talking to, so if you really knew who I was, and you understood the gift of God, by which he means grace, then you, woman at the well, would have asked me, Jesus, Jewish rabbi, for a drink, and he wouldn't have just given you the drink, he would have given you living water. He says to this woman, essentially, if you knew who I was and you understood the reality of grace, you would ask for the most ridiculous, impossible thing you could ever imagine. And I wouldn't just answer your question of impossibility. I would give you the thing that is, you haven't even considered it, thought about it. It's not even on your radar. Living water was not on her radar. Eternal life, salvation, it wasn't even on her radar. She was just there for a drink. When the weight of your life is found in faith, you open yourself up to a world of outrageous impossibilities in the gift of grace. So I don't know this evening where the weight of your life is. I don't know what you depend on. I don't know whether you're dependent on your career. I don't know if you're depending on the person next to you or the person back home I don't know. I don't know if you're dependent on this church, but let me tell you, with the best will in the world, we're probably going to let you down. We don't want to let you down. It's not our intention ever to let you down, but we're probably going to do it. If your dependence, if the weight of your life is being supported by this church and it lets you down, what are you going to do? If the weight of your life is being supported by your career and you get fired or it didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, what are you going to do? You see, I think so many of us find ourselves in situational and relational difficulties because we are allowing the weight of our lives to be being supported by something that was never designed to bear its weight. My career, it was never designed to bear my weight. Helena was never designed to bear my weight, primarily. The weight of my life has to be hung upon faith. And when it's hung upon faith, I open out my world to an outrageous life of impossibility in the gift of grace. And I finish with this. There's a limit to how far your own dependency can take you. There's a limit to how far your dependency on yourself or on other things can take you. Let me read this. When Jesus is talking about to the wealthy man in Mark's gospel, they're talking about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus turns to his disciples. He says this: how difficult it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed and bewildered by his words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is for those who place their hope and confidence in riches, i.e. for those who were dependent upon, to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man who places his faith in wealth or status to enter the kingdom of God. They were completely and utterly astonished and said to him, well, who can be saved then? Looking at them, Jesus said this, and this is where I want to learn. With people, as far as it depends on them, it's impossible. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. With people, as far as it depends on them, it's impossible. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. As far as it depends on them. There's another bit in Romans where Paul talks about living peaceably with each other. He's like, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on people, it's impossible. You can't save yourself. But with God, all things are possible. There is a limitation on how far your own dependency can take you. And so when you place the weight of your life and you allow it to hang on faith and the gift of grace, when you allow the fullness of the weight of your life to rest there, you're operating in the impossible place, not the possible place. I want to live in the reality of the impossible place with God and the grace and all the outrageous things and all the hardships and struggles that come with that. Not just, I can just do it. I can do it. I can depend on me. So the one question message is this: what are you allowing to hold the weight of your life? What are you allowing? What are you dependent on? Some of us this year, today, this coming week, we need to make a weight transfer. Some of us need to transfer our weight from one place to another. Some of us need to transfer our weight from relationships, from the people around us, from our house, from our mortgage, from our career, from our money, from one place to the gift of grace and the dependency on faith. We need to make a weight transference. So I want to ask you, as I asked you last week, hey, do you want to grow? Some people did. Tonight, what are you going to be dependent on? What are you going to give the full weight of your life to this year? Let's stand together. Worship team, if I could invite you just to jump up, that'd be great. Is everyone okay? Is everyone okay? It's okay if you're not. That's all right. I want to take us, just give us a moment just to pause, reflect, ponder, and to pray together. I know for some that's tricky. What I'm not doing intentionally tonight is I'm not answering all your questions. I'm not answering all the process things of, well, how do I transfer my weight and all that kind of stuff. We will get there. The simple question tonight is, what are you hanging the weight of your life on? Is God saying anything to you about that tonight? One verse that's been really key for me this week has been this from Psalm 86. David writes, in the middle of it all, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Teach me your ways, God, that I may rely, that I may depend on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And that's what I want to pray for us this evening as we begin to close together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you know exactly where a word like dependency hits for each of us. Thank you that you know what it raises, what things it does for us. God, thank you that you are so about all of us, every bit of us, taking all of us, not just bits. I pray, Father, for whatever has been raised, for whatever things are coming up in people's hearts and people's minds, that there would be space, both now and in the week, to be able to progress and to water the seeds that you have been planting tonight. Father, I pray for us this evening that you would teach us your ways, that we might depend on your faithfulness, that we might rely on your faithfulness, that you might give us an undivided heart. So, Father, we welcome all the things that you want to do, every part of your activity in our lives this week. Regarding dependency, we welcome it. We thank you that you are responsible for growing us. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you this week, say a really big amen. Say an outrageous amen this week. Agree with something that God said. Say a huge yes, God, this week at some point.